Serious news, seriously entertaining. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy Friday. Hey, if you're a larger white male celebrity, not a good day today. We lost Meatloaf. Marvin passed away.
Oh, I used to love Meatloaf.
I would do anything for Bat out of Hell. Trying to explain to everybody, younger kids, about this, right? Like
huge.
Deborah in the newsroom, her and I always talk about stuff, this, and Becky Lynn would have got this and a few others. But Bat out of Hell, for those of you guys who don't know, who maybe are younger, the Meatloaf album last year in May became the third largest selling album in the history of the world. It sold over 50 million copies. Only Back in Black and Thriller have sold more. That's how big he was, and he was also larger than life in many ways as well. He passed away today, and you know the did he have vaccination? Did he not? COVID? He had a lot of problems for a lot of years. So let's you know.
Well, I don't know what his health was beforehand, but they're saying he had COVID, and that didn't help.
He was supposed to go to a dinner, I think, on Monday.
Yeah,
his family said he canceled it. Said he felt ill, and it happened really fast.
Yeah, it gets you quick sometimes.
It can, and then
other problems.
Louis Anderson died today, and we'll talk a little bit about Louis a little bit later. But very nice individual, I will say this, and he had lymphoma. I saw Pauly Shore tweeted out something last night urging comedians, say, get over and kind of say your goodbye to Louis because he wasn't going to make it.
He said he was thankful to Louis' family for letting him come over and say his goodbye.
You know, because for,
Vegas.
You know, that guy, let me tell you something. Louis, you know, he was an interesting character, to say the least. He won Emmys, but Dennis Miller said he never saw anybody on stage ever as nimble as Louis. And obviously Louis's big, but he was talking about, I felt the same way in the sense because I had he'd done guests, you know, I'd gone and done it, tried to do stuff at you know, the Comedy Store and done stuff. And he would have been there and he'd drop in and you go over to the belly room or watch him do stuff. The thing about Louis that changed, first of all, his self-deprecating humor was really kind of interesting to watch. But it was the fact that I never saw anybody as casual. He was literally talking one to one to the audience.
Yeah.
And it felt that way. He was having a conversation more than telling jokes, and it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
He was a great comedian.
He was an absolutely great comedian, to say the least. So, two, gone. God, we've lost a ton. This year is...
It's supposed to come in threes. I feel like it's coming in dozens.
In 30s,
yeah,
right?
It's not good.
In 30s, it feels like it's coming in. So, guns on campus.
Yes.
The potential for that is real. I'm not quite sure what to say about this. It's very interesting because it's as adults, right? I'm all about freedoms. We live in a state that we got a ton of freedoms comparatively to a bunch of other places. We got open carry, but I also look at college kids nowadays and I think to myself, are these the people that should have weapons?
No, you're talking about on campus. You got people
ASU.
There's a difference between should you be able to carry a weapon? Should you be trained? Should you have to have a license to carry? We don't do that here in Arizona anymore. So now you're talking about an 18-year-old can carry a gun on campus. What if he gets upset? People aren't mature entirely yet, Chad. They get emotional. Hormones are still running around crazy. People are drinking all the time, often for the first time in their lives. I don't know that mixing weapons in with that is a good idea.
No, it's a weird thing because I'm all about the freedoms of the world. Not going to lie to you there. And I look at this and I think, well, you know what? You're 18 and you're old enough to go fight and die for our country. You're old enough to be an adult. You should have the opportunity, if legal, to carry. In saying that, I also go, I know a lot of 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just based on you being an idiot.
Well, and how about this? You can't drink when you're 18, but you should be able to carry a gun. I'm not understanding this. And here's the biggest issue. This may be what we don't really talk about it, but suicides on campus are higher than other places already. And now you're adding guns there. There are kids who have mental health issues. They're lonely and can't, you know, we always think about college as it's fun. It's Animal House. You're meeting new friends. You're having all this great time. A lot of kids go there and it doesn't turn out that way. And it becomes lonely, or they're not succeeding the way they thought, or they're scared, or they're nervous. There's a lot going on in a young person's mind on campus. And if they happen to have a gun there, bad things happen. I just, again, we're fixing a problem that doesn't exist. Is there some sort of giant crime wave on campuses where people are coming in wielding guns and we need a lot of students there to shoot back at them? What's happening?
I don't know.
It's not there.
I like what Michael Thompson, he's the police chief at Arizona State University, says, I'm here to tell you firsthand experience that university students make very poor decisions on a daily basis, sometimes hourly basis, adding guns to an already high-risk environment of alcohol, drugs, overreaction, lack of life experience, and immaturity is a very dangerous combination. And that's...
Couldn't set it better myself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I do. And I'm all about that. And, you know, we talk about, like, guns on campus and crazy things. And you go back and, you know, VaTech and horrible thing. People don't talk about, you know, I was at 2 weeks later in Texas, a guy who had far more firepower came onto a campus. And it was actually two students. They were older students who had guns who ended up taking him down before he got a chance to do anything. But those are rare exceptions.
Right. But those are the ones we hear about. So you're thinking, well, that happens all the time. That doesn't happen all the time.
No.
And more often than not, you have gun on campus. And everything he said, you get accidental shootings. You get people who are shooting out of emotion or anger or things that they're not totally ready to, and equipped to handle yet. And you have these suicide issues. But, Chad, here's the issue. You got the police chief at ASU and the university saying, this is not a good idea. You got the Board of Regents, all of whom were appointed by Governor Ducey. It isn't like these were a bunch of left-leaning, crazy left-wing people. And they're all saying that, you know, the folks who run ASU and U of A, don't do this.
Yeah.
And you have
because you spend time with those people.
Yeah.
You see it firsthand.
And you have Wendy Rogers.
Of course.
That's who sponsored this. You have Wendy Rogers, who has no experience on these campuses, has no idea what she's doing, but it looks great. It appeals to the red meat, to the folks who she goes after and tries to get likes on Twitter. And it's not good policy. It's just here for show.
It's real world consequences for trying to get yourself votes and show.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that's always scary about a lot of this stuff is the real world consequences for some of this craziness. And, you know, they talk about, and I'm all about, you know, carry. I got zero problems with it.
Yeah.
Arizona Citizens Defense League said, we don't let people walk on campus willy-nilly with a gun. You have to go through training to obtain a permit.
All right.
Is the college putting you through training? Are they putting you through certain things to make sure that you are ready to carry?
Right. Well, and training in what way? Just carrying the gun, or how do you react in a stressful situation?
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do if you're upset? What do you do if you're, should you, you know, carry when you're drunk? Is it going to be illegal under this law that if you're drunk and caught carrying a weapon, that is illegal and you get put in prison for that?
Yeah, that's a felony.
Yeah,
I mean, little things like that.
Happen.
No. So, again, you have to balance it. And the police chief said it best. They make poor decisions day by day, sometimes hour by hour. I'm like, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's absolutely true.
I can't argue with that. That is Barry Marks, and he's in for Gatos. They have a lot of stuff to squeeze in. Could we lose the Super Bowl?
Oh, my.
Could that happen? We shall discuss that and so many other amazing things. As you look over, we have changed in the booth. Deborah Dale.
Presto changeo.
Hey, Deborah, did you like Meatloaf and Bat Out of Hell?
I loved Meatloaf. 1977, I think, when he was on SNL. Oh. I was fascinated by him. He had an oxygen tank when he was performing.
He had a lot of problems. Here's something funny about this. His name is Meatloaf. His real name was Marvin. He got his name because his dad called him Meat because he was so bright red, and he wrote that on the little thing inside the nursery. And then his coach, he stepped on his coach foot, and he said, "Hey, Meatloaf," and that's how he got his name. Vegetarians got mad at him. He loved Katie Lang. He said it was one of her favorite performers. She would not meet him, even though he wanted to, because his name was Meatloaf. That's the dumbest thing in the world. He said he didn't like her after that.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Parker & Sons Plumbing and Electrical, the two-time winner of the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award.
That's us, baby. Mayor Martian. In for the young Mr. Gatos. Should be back on Monday. Wishing him and sending him out love and goodwill. He's not have coronavirus.
No.
He does not have communist bat flu. That's what I call it. I think it's fair to call it that.
Isn't that funny? Every time somebody's sick now, first thing they have to say, it's not COVID.
Yeah.
I don't have COVID. My stomach hurts.
It's like, COVID. Like, you know, he's not here today. Oh, why? He had to go to the doctor. Why? Well, he broke his leg. It was COVID. Yeah. COVID broke his leg. COVID broke his
COVID
leg.
Killed Meatloaf. It could break your leg.
A lot of stuff. 1970-something. Deborah's like, he's got oxygen on the stage.
I was fascinated.
He lived 50 more years.
Than he probably should have. Let's
COVID,
be real.
COVID got him.
All the time in the world that he could die. Yes, he died now, and it's sad. But the reality is he was playing on house money for quite a while. Earlier today, we had not Stephen A. Smith, but Stephen A. Green. He is an activist, faith leader in New York. By the way, just to let you guys know, if you've never listened to our show, when Gatos is on, we have real issues with names. We can screw up John Smith. We'll call you 12 different names. Hey, it's Smith Johnson with us, but we did not call him Stephen A. Smith, even though several people tried to put that in my brain to do so. But he came on because he's leading a group of people trying to get the 2023 Super Bowl taken away from us. And it's interesting because you and I push back on a lot of stuff in a very tasteful way. We had a very good conversation. He understands what it's all about. He's not here from Arizona. He's in New York. And you asked him several questions, I did, of like, why should we get rid of stuff when other places are more restrictive? And what are the things that are so bad here with our voting laws?
Three laws that Arizona state legislature enacted last year. One, it shortens the window of voters being able to correct or cure their absentee ballots, right? So right now, the window has been shortened. It also makes it harder for folks to request absentee ballots in Arizona. And they have consistently put together legislation to change how or who counts the votes, you know, and what we saw last year with the Maricopa County Supervisor of Elections engaging in this recount. Like, there's all these sort of attempts in Arizona to thwart, you know, the precious sacrament of the right to vote.
And you rightfully pointed out that places like New York have much more restrictive voting rules than we do here. That a lot of places, not just here, but across the country, they changed the rules kind of willy-nilly at times to fit in the pandemic. It was a pandemic. We understand that. Some of these things, I do agree, I think, are a bridge too far for the average person. But we're not the worst by far. And the thought of taking this away just feels like a situation to punish people and places that were involved somewhat with Trump. Because he brought up January 6th right out the gate as if that had anything to do with it.
And he brought up Kyrsten Sinema voting against the expanding the filibuster to include the Voting Rights Act. And so he's looking at national voting issues. He talked about a whole bunch of stuff, a whole big list, and a lot of it had nothing to do with Arizona. He was talking about Georgia. And I'm with him in that I think voting should be as easy as possible as long as we can keep it secure and safe. That's my whole thing. We should do things to make voting easier so that more people can vote. That's the best thing we can do in our country. That's a democracy and a republic. And Arizona has done that. Arizona has a great we've had mail-in ballots here for, what is it, 15 or 20 years. We lead the country in a lot of this stuff. We do it better than almost anybody else.
We won an award during 2020 for the chaos of how good we did.
Right. And that's – so to me, the question is, can you expand? Can you do certain little things to make it even easier? So, for example, we've always had mail-in ballots, and then we started doing the thing where you could do early voting. You can go to certain centers and vote in person early if that's what you want to do. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So last year, when some states said, hey, because it's COVID, we don't want you to come in. We're going to let you drop off. We're going to have drop off centers or drop off boxes. I think that's great. Now, if there's a real security issue where people are breaking into these boxes and stealing ballots, that's a problem. And we have to figure that out. But that's not happening.
No.
So for example, when Georgia is going to get rid of that, why are you getting rid of that? The only reason is because some, and they know this, is the statistics are clear. Democrats, for whatever reason, if you don't make it easier to vote, they vote less. Now, some of that may be because I'm talking about Georgia, not Arizona, but in some of those counties in Georgia where the African-American population is the biggest, Chad, they have to wait in line hours to vote, hours. And that doesn't happen where the white population is larger. So there's issues with that. But for some reason, some of these restrictions, you get less turnout. Now, I wanted to ask this guy, why is it that African-Americans vote less if these little things are put in place? Why does it affect African Americans more or less than non-African Americans, for example?
And we always hear about the extremes because there's also a lot of African Americans and people of color who go on a day and it's quite, we do hear about the extremes. And back to Georgia really quick, sorry to interrupt you, but the things that they're doing and taking a lot of precincts away, most of them are rural and they've overwhelmingly went for Trump, and they're going to make it tougher for them to vote.
Right. And that's the thing. It's going to be harder for everybody. It doesn't make sense. So here in Arizona, one of the things he cited was, I think, 1485 that passed last year, which got rid of our automatic – you're automatically going to get a mail-in ballot. It was permanent. It was a permanent mail-in ballot. You signed up to get a mail-in ballot.
And it's coming, period.
For the rest of your life, if you live in Arizona, you're going to get it. I like that. And what they've changed it to is, if you haven't voted in a couple of in 2 years.
There's four straight elections, right? The primaries or
right.
Two elections.
It's 2 years. And if you haven't voted, then we're going to send you a card and say, hey, you haven't voted. Do you still want to be in the list? And if you don't respond, we're going to take you off the list. Now, I don't know why people wouldn't vote for 2 years. I don't know why they wouldn't respond to the card. But the fact is, some people wouldn't. And then they would say, hey, wait a minute, where's my ballot? And they wouldn't vote. And my guess is Republicans have figured out the people who are going to be subject to that are Democrats. I don't know why, but that's true.
Or at least that's what they feel.
No,
is the thing.
It's true. They've done the studies on it. There have been other states. They've said the quiet part out loud, where they've actually said, we're doing this because it affects voting. It's better for Republicans. And that's why Republicans are always doing this kind of stuff and Democrats aren't. The statistics are very clear on it. I don't know why. I can't explain it. Why does a rural black person not vote because of this, but a rural white person doesn't, or a city black person compared to a city white person? I can't explain it, but obviously there's a reason they're doing it, and they've said it.
Do they not trust going in? Is that one of the issues?
Or maybe they don't have the kind of job where they can get off to go in. One of the things in this Voting Rights Act is to make Election Day a national holiday. I think that's ridiculous. I think you can say everybody's got to
stop giving away free days off Barry.
Exactly. I agree with you. But if, you know, maybe you're a bus driver and you have kids at home and you have to work. It isn't like you're a bus driver. It isn't like you can take 20 minutes and run over and vote. And then you got kids who get out of school and you have to go home and you can't vote. So a mail-in ballot is a great thing. Or a weekend where you can go. That's another thing they did in Georgia. They took away the voting on Sunday after church, when a lot of African-Americans actually went and voted then. And they took it away. Why did they take that away, Chad?
Well, of course they're looking for. Well, it's, you know, but what? Everybody's looking for an edge, right? They all want to draw their own boundaries. You know, I'm going to draw. You know, they want to draw their districts and stuff. Everybody's looking for an edge,
right,
in some way, shape, or form.
But we should make it as easy as possible
for everybody. And again, though, but it's all. And you and I both know this. As easy as you can make it is also as easy as the worry is of cheating. And that's also a problem as well.
But the worry of cheating isn't, in fact,
cheating.
A lot of cheating.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it never happens,
but
it's so small, even in Arizona. So the concern is, we send out ballots to people who haven't voted in 3 years, and what if someone else picks up that ballot and they send it in? Well, they've got to sign it. It's against the law to sign somebody else's ballot.
Absolutely.
You vote twice, it's against the law. We catch some of those people. That happens. And those ballots get tossed out, things like that. That happens. Do we have a big epidemic of that happening?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think it's anywhere in the world. I haven't seen it in
right.
mass.
And it's not happening. So why are we changing those rules? And so in that respect, I agree with him. But getting back to the Super Bowl, we got off of it.
It's okay. That's what we were talking about.
This
in fact, you know what? Let's pick
bad.
This up on the other side, because
right.
I want to talk more about this, because
right.
I think it is important, because it has to do with us in the Super Bowl. That's Barry Markson. He's in for Young Mr. Gatos. We'll be back next week. A lot of stuff still to get to. We're going to pick this up on the other side. Plus, another bill when it comes to trans and sports. We're going to talk about that as well before we do. You know, we got stuff here. We got probably some more meatloaf stuff. It's a lot of stuff. It's a Friday edition of the Gatos Chat Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
You're locked in to the Gatos and Chat Show.
Barry Markson in for the Gatos before we were so rudely interrupted. We were talking about the magic that is the Super Bowl being pulled from here potentially, because people are upset about the fact that we've changed some voting issues. Really, it's a big stunt. They saw what happened in Atlanta last year in Georgia, where they pulled the MLB All-Star game and then moved it to Denver, who had almost identical voting rights there. It's frustrating for a lot of people, and I get it. Look, there's no doubt. Everybody wants to rig the system in their weird way of trying to make it legal, but at the same time, rig it in their playing field. And it absolutely looks this way. Other states, though, as you've pointed out to the Reverend who was on earlier, they are more restrictive. New York being one of them.
Yeah.
Very blue, very liberal. California is a little bit more restrictive in some ways. And yet, there's nothing from that. And that it's all politics playing into that.
Yeah. And it's it's what makes it so ridiculous. Voting used to be, a lot of times Republicans were making it easier and coming up with ways to get more people to the polls or to vote by mail. Arizona is the best example of this. We have great voting by mail. We've been ahead of almost the entire country, leading the way in a lot of voting, new voting things. And my philosophy has always been, let's make it as easy to vote as possible for citizens and to do it safely and securely. If we could do that and make it easy, that's the best way. In Arizona, Chad, you know this, 85% of Arizonans vote by mail. My concern with this guy is, number one, this could work. It's worked in Arizona before. They pulled a Super Bowl here with Martin Luther King. It just worked, as you said, in Atlanta. And the other side of it is the threat makes people who might look at some of the upcoming voting laws and saying, this is ridiculous, we're not going to do this. But if they're seen as responding to the threat of losing the Super Bowl, now suddenly they can't back down.
No.
It'll look like they're backing down.
Yeah, and we'll see. I don't think we'll lose the Super Bowl, but you never know in this wacky, wacky social justice world. Speaking of that, transgender bill, when it comes to sports, could it happen here? We shall discuss. Barry Markson is in today. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking about, I'm excited about the big golfing coming up. It's going to be awesome.
It's the best.
What days are we going? I'm not quite sure. I'm going out a couple days. I was like, we should broadcast from there. Gatos would never do that.
Bring him along.
But you did Barrett Jackson. Did you buy anything?
No, but it's fun. It's fun to go.
Yeah.
You know what's great about Barrett Jackson is you can walk around just amongst the cars.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to touch them, but I'm saying you're right there with the cars. It isn't like they have them locked up somewhere.
Yeah, that's what's cool.
It's and even as they're lining them up to bring them onto the stage, you can walk right there next to the cars, look at them. It's really very cool.
That is very,
it's a lot
very
of
cool.
fun. A lot of fun.
Lots of craziness in the last several years, and this is the woke culture that we live in. Both sides go overboard, you know, on the insanity of it. And one of the things is you know, especially over the last several months, Leah Thomas is a swimmer from University of Penn, and she is smashing records. She used to be a man, and a man is, I think, a fair thing. It was just a few years ago, but now, and she was on the male team, so it wasn't like she's just new to swimming, and she's smoked everybody, and the debate is there of whether or not, you know, we're seeing this, and we've seen it at the high school level as well.
That's a problem.
Yeah, and it's that fine balance. And, you know, you see states here try to pass bills. We're one of them throwing stuff out there because you do want a level playing field. You don't want some girl to go out and get crushed by somebody who is now identifying as a female.
Physiologically is a man.
Yes.
And has the muscle structure of a man, and which is it's a different thing.
It is. It is. But you want that balance of how do we have the fair playing field without saying, look, it's not fair. I mean, it's not. Even Michael Phelps tried to walk the fine line the other day, but you had Caitlyn Jenner come out. And Caitlyn Jenner would know because Caitlyn Jenner did win some Olympic medals.
Nope.
But think about
That's
this.
Bruce.
If Michael Phelps said today, I'm transitioning to a woman, and then 16 months from now he's taking the testosterone blockers, do you think he's going to win a gold medal if he swims?
Well, here's the first thing. He will not be an attractive woman.
No, he will not.
I think we can all right
he's
now.
He's not an attractive man.
Yeah, we know that. I'm glad you said it. I don't want to get in trouble. I have enough hate mail coming towards me every day. But
He would win.
Yeah.
I would assume. I would assume that male swimmers are faster than female swimmers.
They have larger lung capacity.
On the time.
Their hands are bigger.
Right.
All of those
More
things.
Muscular,
their backs.
Right,
all the muscle
right.
mass.
It's a different thing.
And the
but here,
the Law Center for Transgender came out last week or 2 weeks ago and said, look, we don't win the argument physiologically, right. scientifically, and the polls say it's not right.
Right.
So they're trying to change the way by saying, hey, it's all about race. And if you don't like trans people, you don't like, you know, black people. But where's the fine balance? Barry?
Yeah,
that's just it.
It's tough. And this is coming home to Arizona because Representative Nancy Bartow has a bill that's pending right now to basically say you can only compete in sports in any school level activity, no matter how young, in Arizona, under the sex that you were born.
Yeah.
And I understand what she's trying to avoid, which is what you just talked about, Chad. But the other side of this, and we never really talk about this, is for transgender kids and kids who have this fluidity with their sexuality, which we're all just coming to terms with right now, it's a real thing for some kids. And they literally have 50% of these kids are at some point are suicidal. and a huge percentage of them are successful in that. So it's not to say that everything should center around that, but this is a real issue for them. And what parents came before the Arizona legislature to testify about this week, and they said, you know, my now daughter, she's not going to win any medals. She's not going to college and getting a scholarship. But this is the thing she can do and be with the other kids, where they treat her like a teammate. It's the thing that it gives her joy.
Yeah.
And we're not trying to keep anybody else out. We're not trying to win awards or records or be unfair to the other teams. But we need to find some balance.
Yeah.
And this law, this bill, Chad, for example, they can't even play intramural sports.
Yeah, which I think is stupid.
Which is over the top.
I liked mine that I threw out earlier, and I think you guys might like this too. Okay, you, if you're transitioning from a female to a male or male to female, you can play a sport, you just can't play the sport you play. So if you like basketball, you got to be a swimmer.
That seems fair, except some people are just naturally athletic.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm joking, but you're trying to find that. And, you know, you brought up the mental health thing, which we never talk about enough. And I've had Abigail Schreier on my national show, and she wrote a book last year about the damage that's being done across the board because they're not taking looks at psychologically. Everybody's running at it. You know, she says, I'm talking to doctors who are terrified because if they don't agree to give some child stuff that they would never give, that shouldn't be given to child something, they're going to get basically fired. And they know eventually people are going to come to the doctor in 10 years and say, you should never have done that.
Right.
And it's finding the sweet spot of how do we do this without saying, hey, little girl over here who's been a girl and identifies as a girl, your feelings don't matter because we're trying to make this one person. And it's a fine line.
I'll tell you, and I'll be honest with you, I was in the camp of, I don't even, you know, you can't, kids don't know yet. They don't know their sexuality. I was in that camp. And now I know a family who are dealing with this with their daughter, and she's 13 now. And it's a real thing. I mean, I've sat with them. I've listened. They're trying to deal with it. It's very troubling. The daughter is in an odd space. Now, they're not doing transgender stuff. They're not switching sexes or anything else like that because they've said, we're not going to do that. Not now. But it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And it's not a choice. And it's a weird thing. And maybe they do switch back. And maybe there's a lot of questions here. But I think it needs to be handled a little more delicately than screw these people.
Yeah.
And that's not right and it's not fair.
Yeah. We like usual, Barry and I talk it out as grown adults should talk it out. Maybe we should run for something. Barry Markson in for Gatos. Gatos will be back on Monday. A lot of stuff, including the 5 o'clock expansion coming up. It's the Gatos Chat Show.